Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setters, our fabulous producer, he's going to be gluing pieces together today. We're going to switch anchors here at 7:30, and Rob will make sure that the continuity continues today. So we appreciate all of his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Father Kerry Walters is back on the line. He's pastor of the Holy Spirit American National Catholic Church in Lewisburg, based in the church itself, is located in Montana. And they have been doing some worship services, but we see a lot of his online messages going out from the church and talking to folks about how ancient scriptures match up almost perfectly in many cases with comforting us and gluing us together and keeping us as one during the pandemic. So, Pastor Walters, thank you so much for calling in today.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
I really do appreciate that. I talked about the fact that we've seen you conducting some worship services, and now I'm not sure that you are. Explain what the American National Catholic Church, the Holy Spirit Church, is doing in Montana now.
Well, we actually are pretty active online these days. In addition to our Sunday Mass, which we live stream, we have six other weekday opportunities for folks, either Zoomed or live streamed. So in a certain kind of way, we're busier now than we were before COVID shut things down so far as in-house worship goes.
Right. It maybe takes more time. You're really conducting a worship in two locations when you set it up to do online and then you do it in person. Tell us about, I use the phrase missing worship. Tell us what that means to many people of faith, this idea they don't have this opportunity for worship.
I think it's really hard, to be honest with you. I don't think that I've ever appreciated as fully as I do since we've closed down the importance of community. Community in general, but community in particular for a Christian church, for a Christian organization. You know, communion is probably a better word than community. We need to be in the presence of one another, the physical presence of one another. And even though the technology that allows us to be with one another virtually is really a blessing, I thank God every day for it. It certainly can't fill that need that I think all of us have to be in physical communion with one another so that we can worship together. So it's difficult. On the other hand, however, it is, I think, offering us new ideas about how to minister to folks. And my guess is that once the COVID crisis is over and at Holy Spirit we can resume in-house worship, that we'll still retain one or two of the virtual opportunities that we've started during these bleak months.
Why do people of faith worship?
Well, I think first and foremost, we worship in order to honor God. Too often, I worry, coming together as a church community is seen as a social opportunity, and that's important. I just said that community is important, and being with one another is important. But first and foremost, we worship together in order to praise God and to thank God for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And even though we can do that as individuals in the isolation of our own homes, and even though I hope that we do precisely that when we are alone, there's something about the power of coming together to praise God and to thank God that is really fulfilling.
Well, there's always community activity associated with eating together and, you know, enjoying the service together, and then, you know, just the physical contact. I remember shaking hands with one older person at a service one time, and she says, "This was the only touch I've had all week." So, you know, she had just a real sense of that togetherness that came from that.
Absolutely. And I think that kind of, yeah, that's a wonderful story, Mark. And I think that kind of a story only underscores, you know, the central tenet of the Christian faith, that is incarnationism. We need that incarnated presence of other people in order to remind us of the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ.
Tell me about the work of the church during the pandemic.
You know, the work of the church, I think, although it certainly is different now because there's so fewer physical opportunities, continues. The work of the church still continues so far as prayer goes, so far as trying to minister to those who are in need, so far as visiting as best we can those who are ill or are dying. But I think also that what COVID has done is to remind us of how the church in this country is changing, and necessarily changing. The fastest growing quote-unquote religious demographic are called nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. And these are people who have no stated affiliation with any religion and could just care less about religion. And I think that the nuns are rising in the way that they are because those of us in the churches have basically failed to make the message that we have relevant. In fact, on the contrary, we've too often made it irreverent. We've tied it to partisan politics. We've turned it into a judgmental screed that turns people off instead of excites them and invites them. So this shutdown that so many churches have experienced during COVID, I think, is preparing us for a diminished role in the United States even after COVID is over. And that's necessarily going to influence the way in which churches operate and churches minister.
And what about our faith during this deeply politically divided time that we happen to be in the middle of? What's the church's role when one individual who says they're a devout follower, is an adamant Donald Trump supporter, and another one is a Joe Biden supporter, and a wide range of beliefs in between?
You know, I don't want to sound simplistic about this, but I will say this. Do you remember the old WWJD bracelets that were such a fad 20 or so years ago?
Still have one.
Do you really? Well, it seems to me that even though I got a little tired of the fad when it was hot and heavy, that the asking oneself in the political situation, what would Jesus do, is not a bad way to go about things. It seems to me that whatever our partisan position is, if we are Christians, what we need to do is to ask ourselves, is what I'm contemplating, is the candidate I'm thinking about supporting, are the policies that I'm endorsing compatible with the central message of the Gospels? And that central message, of course, is the Great Commandment. If I endorse this candidate or this policy, am I truly loving God with everything that I've got? And am I truly loving my neighbor as I love myself? Simplistic, maybe, but that's the touchstone. That's the true north of the Christian compass.
Well, yes, but so then after that, I'm at liberty to sort of apply those scriptures to my political candidate. I mean, I can think of a candidate that is a pro-choice candidate, so that would fly in the face of somebody who says, well, a candidate has to be pro-life. Likewise, I can think of a candidate that maybe doesn't have as much regard for the poor or the needy or the many, or hasn't made a lot of moral decisions in the past. After we decide how we want to apply our faith, I guess, WWJD, what does God want us to do then if we realize that we've kind of put it through our own filter? We've applied this filter that may or may not be scriptural or holy or real following.
Well, I think that's a really good question. And then, of course, the challenge for us is not to read it through our own filter. And that's so easy to do. I do it, and I'm sure a lot of other people do it as well. I mean, look, it's not simply the case that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, and leaves it at that. If you're in the Gospels, there are all kinds of specifics about what it means to love one's neighbor. So, for example, you don't let the neighbor starve if the neighbor is hungry. You don't exclude the neighbor from the community in which you live simply because the neighbor is different from you. You do respect life from womb to tomb because Jesus insisted, as the Old Testament does, that we're made in the image of the Father, and therefore there's something inherently dignified about human existence. I mean, there are all kinds of subsidiary rules, if you will, that falls under the big rubric of love your neighbor as yourself and love God with everything you've got. But I think one of the biggest challenges and one of the biggest causes of the downfall of American Christianity these days is that we all are reading the two great commandments through our own filters. And as a consequence, there's cacophony. We are all disagreeing with one another. And in the process, we're driving people away from the church.
I've always said Christianity is the only filter that contaminates. it's the strangest backward problem that we have. And one of our good listeners says, I altered my WWJD bracelet to say WWJHMD. What would Jesus have me do? It seemed like a better phrase for them to walk away from. So, all right, well, really just 30 seconds left. Please, an open mic. Anything additional related to these very topics that you'd like to elaborate on?
I guess the only thing that I would say is what everyone knows, that we're all in a period of great anxiety right now. But please, please don't let that anxiety fuel anger and resentment and fear.
Oh, okay. Well, absolutely. Well, thank you. Nicely said. We can read your columns in the Daily Item. A recent one, Whither Go We? Just a fabulous description of our time and sort of the dilemma we find ourselves in, and a partial answer to what does God want us to do? So I really invite you to read that column. Facebook, a great way to catch up with the American National Catholic, or the Holy Spirit American National Catholic Church. Father Kerry Walters is the priest there. Thank you so much, Father. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you, Mark. God bless.
Father Kerry Walters, pastor at the Holy Spirit American National Catholic Church. They conduct their worship services based in Montana, but Facebook is just the fastest and easiest way to follow his masses throughout the week.